This is Wade's World, where we talk to the most interesting people in the world on KABF 88.3, the voice of the people.
You want to see how the other half lives? You want to see how we get around? Why don't you come?
This is Wade Rathke, and you're listening to Wade's World. It's Friday morning, 9 to 9:30 Central Standard Time in the United States, and your time for the voice of the people. Welcome to the east side of town so that we can talk about how the other half lives and what life is like here living in Wade's World, whether that's the east side of Little Rock, where KABF 88.3 is located, or the east side of New Orleans, where WAMF 90.3 is housed, or Greenville, Nairobi, Bengaluru, Bristol, or Bombay. Points east and west, where we are either rebroadcast or live streamed at www.kabf.org. A podcast will be available to the show on Monday at that website. You know the story on Wade's World. We talk to the most interesting people in the world. And today we're talking to Heather Mercer, Executive Director of Arkansas Immunization Action Coalition. Welcome to Wade's World, Heather. Well, I'm delighted. I've been getting your emails for quite a time. I'm not sure. I think we've joined the Immunization Coalition or something like that, but it's always good to see how active you are. So it's a good time for us to let people know exactly what is the Arkansas Immunization Action Coalition. What are you doing, Heather?
Well, the Arkansas Immunization Action Coalition is a nonprofit organization, and we are made up of subject matter experts and resourceful professionals with decades of experience and expertise working to improve the health of Arkansas. We are not a government agency, and we're devoted to serving the public, and we strive to be the trusted advisor for vaccinations by raising awareness of vaccine-preventable diseases, educating healthcare providers and policymakers about vaccines, and being a source of information and expertise for all of those who are wishing to work with vaccines and those wishing to get vaccinations.
So how did this organization come to be in Arkansas? Was this something that you helped found as well?
No, it was started in 2012, and we are currently a grant-funded organization. So it was grant-funded in 2012, and the executive director that was the director back then left in 2015. And when he left, the grant funding also left.
Uh-oh.
And, yeah. So the organization tried to continue with just volunteer efforts, and it just kind of fizzled out. So in 2016, some board members wrote a Blue and New grant, and it was funded. And so that's when they hired me, and I started last year. And so the coalition just kind of got a revitalization last year.
Okay.
So we've just kind of rebooted, and we've started doing work again. And we've been very busy over the last year. We have three active work groups that work on some priority areas. We have a childhood immunization work group, an HPV prevention work group, and a flu prevention work group. And those are all made up of stakeholders that have an interest in all three of those priority areas. And we meet every other month to just talk about how we can improve vaccinations in those three areas. And we are getting ready to launch an adult immunization work group and a vaccine advocacy work group. So we're very active, and we have great volunteers that are active in all of those areas.
Is immunization a problem in Arkansas? Is it a big issue?
Well, we have some access problems in Arkansas. So we have 20 counties in the state out of our 75 counties where the local health units are the only place where people that have that have Medicaid can get vaccinations if they have kids. So there's a program called the Vaccine for Children program where Medicaid holders can get their vaccines for free. And there are 20 counties where the local health unit is the only place that people who need to get their vaccines that have Vaccine for Children, that's the only place they can get their vaccines. They can't get it at the doctor's office. So we have a access issue
and
in
some
Arkansas.
Of those counties are pretty spread out, aren't they?
Right, right. So if you go to your doctor's office and for your well-child visit, and then you want to get your vaccine and they don't offer vaccines at your doctor's office, then you have to go make another appointment to get your vaccine. Odds are you may not choose to do that. And so some of our kids are behind on their vaccinations just because it's an access problem.
And are these the kind of vaccinations people behind? Are they the ones required to enter school?
Yes.
So is that a problem as well?
Yes, it is. And some people choose to just get an exemption because it's easier than going to get the vaccine.
Explain to me how an exemption would work for vaccines. I mean, vaccines to go to school, we always think of as pretty much mandatory.
Right. So there is, in Arkansas, we have exemptions for medical, philosophical, and religious reasons. And the Arkansas Health Department has those exemption forms available on their website. So people can go there and get an exemption for those reasons, but some people choose to get an exemption rather than to get the vaccine just because it's easier.
Well, I guess.
Does that make sense?
Well, sure. If you're talking about a Medicaid recipient and you've already taken maybe a day off of work to go to the doctor, you've managed to get yourself transportation for you and your kids, and your doctor is in this small town, and yet you've got to go another 20 miles, 30 miles over to get a vaccine at the public health department, and you're not sure what their hours are and whatever. And there's a little bitty form where you can all of a sudden claim you've got some sort of religious or philosophical exemption. Wow.
Right.
My head hurts now.
We're working to try to alleviate those barriers.
How do you do that?
We offered 25 $1,000 mini grants last year and this year to providers for things such as refrigerators or freezers, the things that they say are a barrier for them to offer VFC vaccines.
This is for local doctors?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of storage requirements that go along with the VFC vaccine that the CDC requires, and so it's kind of a hassle for the physicians, and that's one of the things that we hear that prohibits them from becoming a VSC provider. So we offered the mini grants as a way to try to offset some of that burden, and we just closed the mini grant March 16th, and we're getting ready to award the 25 that we chose, and several of those chose refrigerators and freezers as what they wanted to use $1,000 for.
And so there was a lot of interest then in applying from doctors around the state?
Yeah, doctors, and we got a couple of pharmacies that want to become VFC providers as well. So in Arkansas, pharmacies can give vaccines down to age 7 if someone has a prescription.
Gotcha.
So that can help with the access issue as well if a pharmacy becomes a VFC provider. And we do have some pharmacies in Arkansas already participating in the VFC program. So they're helping with the access. They can't give, you know, for the little bitty kids, they can give down to age 7. So it helps, you know, with some of the bigger kids, the school-aged kids.
And why is the age 7 the key?
I don't know why they chose that age.
okay.
I can't answer that. That's just a pharmacy scope of practice. That's the age they picked.
Seems a little arbitrary.
And the flu vaccine, you don't have to have a prescription. A pharmacy can give you the flu vaccine without a prescription. But any other vaccine up to age 18, you have to have a prescription from your doctor to get a pharmacist to give you a vaccination.
What are the general immunization rates in the state? Are we lagging behind? Are we ahead? Are we in the middle? How do we shape up compared to the rest of the
country? We're not doing so great overall, especially in for HPV. Healthy People 2020 is a benchmark that we want to meet. And overall, they have 80% for most vaccinations. And for HPV, 80% is where we're supposed to be by 2020. And for HPV, for girls who are up to date on their HPV vaccine, we're at 35%.
Whoa.
And for boys, we are at 33%. And for the other vaccines for that age group, we're at 91% for the Tdap vaccine, which is tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis. And for the meningococcal vaccine, we're at 89%. So you can see that, and those two are required for school, and the HPV vaccine is not required for school. So that does make a difference. But the HPV vaccine is recommended by the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. So when these kids are going in for their 11 and 12-year-old visit to get their school-required vaccines, they should be getting the HPV vaccine at the same time they get their Tdap and meningococcal vaccine. But clearly, based on our immunization rates,
not happening.
They're not. No.
We're talking to Heather Mercer, who's the executive director of the Arkansas Immunization Action Coalition. Heather, take a minute or two, just because HPV is not something everybody really knows and understands. Is there a simple explanation?
Well, the human papillomavirus is what HPV stands for. It's a very common virus that most of us have probably contracted at some point during our life. It's a sexually transmitted virus, and we get it from skin-to-skin contact. And this virus is responsible for most cervical cancers. And so the vaccine was developed to prevent cervical cancer. And it is indicated for boys and girls. The HPV virus also causes more than just cervical cancers. It also can cause genital warts, it can cause anal cancer, penile cancer, it causes a variety of other cancers.
It doesn't do anything good for you. That's the bottom line.
No.
And it's,
it also can cause oropharyngeal cancers, and now the oropharyngeal cancer or head and neck cancers have surpassed cervical cancers in the number of cases that we're seeing.
How tragic.
So, and most of those cancers are in men. So the indication for boys happened about 3 years after the indication for girls, and we're really not doing well with our vaccination rates for boys. So we are holding an HPV summit for medical and dental professionals on May 4th at the Hilton Garden Inn downtown in Little Rock. And the reason we're doing the dental professionals, and I know everyone is probably wondering why dentists are included in this, because they don't vaccinate, but theoretically...
Any port in a storm, Heather.
These kids are supposed to see their dentist twice a year. So they would see their dentist more than they would see their pediatrician. And we have created a tool for dentists to start a conversation with the adolescents that they are seeing to talk to them about oral cancers. And so it's a postcard that on one side it talks about the HPV vaccine and preventing oral cancers, and on the other side it talks about not using tobacco and how tobacco can also cause oral cancer. So we want the dentist to come to our HPV summit so they can learn more about the HPV virus so they can talk to their patients about oral cancer. And we just got approval from the dental board for dentists to be able to write a prescription for the HPV vaccine. So if their patients have not already been vaccinated, they can then write a prescription for them to go to their pharmacy and get their HPV vaccine.
And this is a, once you have one vaccination for HPV, you're good, right?
No, the indication is if you're under age 15, you need two doses of the HPV vaccine. And if you get it before your 15th birthday, and the two doses should be separated by 6 to 12 months. And then if you're over 15, then you need three doses, and the second dose should be given 1 to 2 months after the first dose. And then the third dose is given 6 months after the first dose.
And you can just hear the problems as you go through that timeline. Oh, mercy,
so
you know.
And
here I was just hoping it was like the old, you know, one and done. Okay.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why when I said our vaccination rates on kids that are up to date, we aren't doing terrible on people getting their first dose. We're in the 50% range. We're still not at that 80%. But our up-to-date rates are in the 30s.
I don't even want to ask you this question, but I can't help myself. So does one dose give you any protection?
It does. It's better than none.
Okay, well, then I don't feel so bad for asking. But no guarantees
there. It's better than
not
getting any.
Yeah, wow.
But we still want them to get the full protection. And, you know, there's a lot of controversy about kids getting this vaccine at age 11 because parents, you know, are thinking, my kid's not sexually active at age 11. I don't want them to get this vaccine at age 11. And they don't understand why they need to get vaccinated for a sexually transmitted virus at age 11. And the reason that we want them to get this vaccine at this age is because at the younger age, they mount a much better immune response than if they get it when they're older.
Well, I don't understand the reason for the controversy. I mean, it's prophylactic regardless, right? I mean, it's
right.
Point of immunization, whether you get it 11,
exactly,
12, or whatever. It's not what you're doing. It's what you don't want.
It's kind of a... We like to use a bike helmet as an example. You want to put the bike helmet on before you get in an accident on your bicycle, not after you've had your bike accident. So
I can't argue with that point. That seems to be, you know, a good argument. I got to ask, Heather, how'd you get involved in this field?
Well, I've been in the healthcare industry for a long time. I was a pharmaceutical rep for 12 years, and I sold a vaccine for 8 of those 12 years. And then I was a physician recruiter for a number of years after that. So I've just been in the healthcare industry for a long time. and I have a passion for immunizations. And I think they're necessary. And unfortunately, vaccines have been a victim of their own success. And so more and more people don't think they're necessary because we don't see a lot of the things that we're trying to prevent. You know, we don't see the measles like we used to. We definitely don't see polio, which used to scare people to death. I have a smallpox scar because I'm older, and we don't even get that vaccine anymore because we've eradicated smallpox.
It's one of the great world success stories of immunization, smallpox. And I was reading just last, was it last week? We're on the verge of a second historic worldwide victory, either against Guinea worm or polio.
Right.
So
right.
Those are things to celebrate, I would have thought.
Yeah, but yet, you know, we're seeing a resurgence of the measles and mumps because people are choosing not to vaccinate their kids. And a lot of these people think they're doing the right thing by their kids, and it's just because they're misinformed. There's a lot of misinformation out there about immunizations, and it's unfortunate, and it's partly because some of these, some of the information, it's, you can take bits and pieces of anything and twist it the wrong way. And that's what's happened with immunizations.
Well, we're finding that out at every level of our country now. We're talking
right.
to Heather Mercer, who's the executive director of the Arkansas Immunization Action Coalition. Heather, part of the reason there's been controversy, I know, and none of us want to talk about this much, but part of the problem of immunization is sort of there's a tipping point. If all of a sudden, and this has been a lot of stories out of California, if too many people elect not to have certain, you know, vaccines for whatever reason, as you're saying, you know, philosophical, religious, medical, or whatever, you can actually endanger the entire community. It's not just an individual decision, is it?
No, it isn't. And unfortunately, you know, Andrew Wakefield, who is the physician that started the whole autism movement, the vaccines cause autism, he is still out there causing problems. He was completely discredited. He's been stripped of his medical license. All of his studies were disproven, but he's still out there creating problems. And in Minnesota, he went and convinced a lot of people in the Somali community not to get vaccinated, and they had a huge measles outbreak because of his testimony to them. It is a issue, but we are hoping that we can provide credible information to people. We have a lot of resources on our website, which is immunizear.org. We've got a whole tab dedicated to parents and families that has lots of resources available so that people can find credible information about vaccinations. I know a lot of people are leery of the CDC. They don't think the CDC is credible. The CDC is a wonderful organization.
Oh, and the research they do is just excellent. I mean, I can't imagine why people are throwing bricks at their window.
I don't know either.
I mean, give me a break. There must be other targets for people's anger, huh? Go
right.
ahead. So the CDC puts out information. I didn't mean to interrupt, but sometimes, you know, you just, whoa, what in the world?
Right, I know.
Yeah, so do I. So are you getting a lot of, I mean, I didn't ask where your grant comes from, but I would imagine the state of Arkansas is a big supporter of the coalition. Is that true?
Well, we currently are funded almost 100% by the Blue News Foundation.
The what
That's
now?
Where our current grant came from. We were funded from Blue and You last year, and they are funding us for a second year this year. So we're extremely thankful to the Blue and You Foundation. But we can only be funded by Blue and You for 2 years in a row. So now we are going to be very dependent on the public and other grant sources. And
why isn't the state of Arkansas funding this effort? That would seem to be so much in the public interest.
Well, and are you talking about like the Arkansas Department of Health?
Yeah.
They are supportive, and they are looking for funding. But, you know, some of their funding has been cut, too, because of government funding cuts. So they've just
But we're talking about government funding cuts that affect the health of the entire community, including, obviously, all the children.
Right. Yeah, so they've just got to find budget. You know, they got to find it in their budget to be able to support our work. And they support me. We collaborate a lot with the Arkansas Department of Health.
But an attagirl is not enough, is it, Heather? We need some real finances behind this thing.
No.
I mean, we need to put some
and
pressure
they
there.
They have given us some. Last year we did a immunization summit, and they were able to support us with our summit. And they have assured me they are looking in their budget to try to support us this year as well.
Well, I hope so, because this is one of the philosophical downfalls of when they say, okay, let's withdraw public support and have the private sector come forward. Well, the private sector is not necessarily able to come forward, or, you know, philanthropy. There's so many nonprofits that need support, and some of these issues aren't as front page sexy as others, are they? Even though it may have to do with the basic health of the community. I guess I'm editorializing. There's not a question in there, Heather, but... Boy, I mean, this should be one of the easiest things for the state to decide, hey, we need to throw some money this way. I mean, particularly if you have 20 counties where, frankly, I think we have to say people are underserved.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sure they're going to come through. They're definitely looking in their budget to try to help me.
Well, I'm telling you what, Heather, if they don't come through, come back and we'll put you on the air again, and we'll
okay.
yell and holler, and we'll let the phone lines buzz, and we'll put out people's names and email addresses. Because, you know, there's so few things that we ought to be able to all agree on. But the health of our children, our own future as a community, whether or not we're able to eradicate terrible, terrible diseases that can cripple and maim people for lives, if not kill them. This should be the easy part. There's no ideology right, left, in the middle. Heather, you've given a couple of websites here. So first I want you to tell once again how people can, if they're a doctor or a dentist, get involved in your summit. And then I want you to give the website and any other information about how people can get a hold of you and the Arkansas Immunization Action Coalition.
Our website is www.immunizear.org, and the information on our summit is on the homepage of our website. We also have a donate button on our homepage, so if anyone's interested in donating to the coalition, there's a donation button there. All of my contact information is on our website, so if anyone's interested in joining the coalition, you can join on our website. We would love to have anyone join the coalition that's interested in immunizations. We also have a Facebook page, and we're on Twitter. We're on Pinterest.
Oh, wow.
We're very active on social media. So, and we post a lot of great information about immunizations on social media.
You've heard Heather over and over again. We've got some work to do on HPV. We've got some progress we need to make in a lot of areas. Heather, thanks you. Thank you so much for being with me. I know it wasn't easy to hook this up, but we got it done. This has
been, I appreciate you for having me.
Anytime. This has been Wade's World for another week, the world where the other half lives, where we talk about things you've never heard, and as Lucinda Williams sang, things you've never seen and will never forget. As the song goes, we say it loud, we say it on the air, we say it on the radio. Until next week, when we have another guest, this is Wade Rathke.
This program is produced by the Arkansas Broadcasting Foundation, KABF-FM in Little Rock, Arkansas, and is distributed through Affiliated Media Foundation Movement, AMFM, serving the needs and interests of low and moderate income Americans.